it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Show time for a serious sports talk show. Now that we've gotten the riffraff out of here, I mean, I can still hear Lance through the door, but I guess he's regaling the interns about comedy and his favorite comedians. I can legitimately hear that conversation as I was getting ready. So the riffraff is still hanging around, but for the most part, it's out. And now we can talk about actual things that matter, like our Houston Astros. I think I'm very positive because of my approach. It's one game season every day, Sean. It's a one game season. And yesterday, the Astros were champions of the day. You take it however you can get it. My guy, Ronel Blanco, has a great performance. 8 strikeouts, does give up a home run to the guy who doesn't wear batting gloves. That did cloud the performance for me a little bit.
I thought that's exactly what I thought. I was like, there could not be a worse pitcher to give up a home run to a worse hitter in the mind of Dell on this earth. I don't think I can come up with another. If somehow Ronel Blanco had given up a home run to Mario Cristobal, maybe.
That would bother me.
Who wasn't wearing batting gloves?
Why the hell is he playing for the Giants?
Yeah. Mario Cristobal also not wearing batting gloves because, of course, he'd not.
He wouldn't.
I would like to report that was my thought was, wow, I'm sure Dell's taking this one tough.
That one was rough because I was like, not wisely again.
Not him again.
Not on my guy.
So now he's not. Now Ronel might not get the win.
Yeah, but you know, thanks to I want to thank Bregman, but really, it's a slow chopper, and you got to feel really bad if you're the third baseman and you rush in. I don't know how the base. I know that's a third baseman's play. I don't know if it's a call out. That's mine. And you make that play. And you could eat it, possibly, but you're trying to make the play to third out, and you throw it away, and it costs you 2 runs. It's got to be a rough one. But you put in all that effort in. You cut off the shortstop. Admittedly, it's your play, and then you throw it away. That's a rough way as you're walking back to – that's a rough thing walking back to position.
Especially, like, jumping in front of the shortstop to make that play. It's like, no, I got it. And then it's like, oh.
I don't have it. Now, it was a tough play.
It was going to be – he was going to have to earn it. But
yes.
It was still –
And it led to 2 runs in the Astros. That was a margin. 3-1 was the final there.
How about all 3 runs for the Astros coming on? pretty speculative hits from the top 2 members of the order.
Yeah, that was something throughout. As after Altuve swings at a ball that no one should swing at,
but it would be behind the person the left-handed batter standing in the box.
Yeah,
like, it was crazy.
And it's funny because of who he is and what he does with bad pitches that he, you know, that's just Altuve being Altuve. When realistically, it's like, what the hell are you doing?
That's a terrible pitch.
What are you swinging at? It did lead to a run. It was the first run of the ball game. And Sean mentioned the Bregman chopper that led to the 2 runs. You'll take them. And that's why I say my positivity is up there because I look at the Astros as champions of yesterday. They won that game. They won that single game against the Giants. They were the champions of the day. So, hey, all that existential stuff about where they stand, where they are in the standings, it doesn't matter to me because there's just another game today anyway. And I can either feel good or feel bad about the performance, and then we'll move on to the next day. It's a getaway day for the Astros, an afternoon start for them as they have Fromber on the mound. They try to take the series, but really all they're trying to be is champions of the day. You know what? The psychology about Ryan Pressly – he's in the knife, in the role he would want, and he's great. Give me Stressley. The Stressley of last year where you're up by 2 runs, which was the case last night, and if you want to give up a run and have a guy on second with the chance to blow a save and get it done, I would welcome that compared to what we've seen. We didn't get that. We got the clean inning from Ryan Pressly. He was back in the role he thinks he's made for, and he gets the out. So I am still under the belief that if we gave him less high leverage situations, he'd be even worse. I don't think he would take a demotion well. We certainly see he hasn't taken this one well. If you want to make him the seventh inning guy, prepare for a disaster. I think he gets even worse as a guy that he's now more demoted than he already was. Look, there are going to be times when Hader won't be available like he wasn't last night, and Ryan Pressly will go out there and get the job done. Now, once again, I'm going to ignore what anything he's done in that situation, like going out there in the ninth and blowing a save, because that didn't happen yesterday.
Oh, okay.
They won yesterday.
He has a 0-0 all-time ERA,
yes,
in your mind.
No matter what. I treat all the guys the same. Hey, Jose Altuve, I don't care about all that history stuff. None of the back of the baseball card stuff.
Whoa.
Every day is a new chance to prove yourself to me, and that's how I treat the rest of this Astros season until they reach 500. When they reach 500, we can start to actually talk about things about what this season can be. But until that day comes, it's all about the moment, and that's how I don't freak out if they lose the day, and if they win the day, I can walk away with some positivity and think, hey, maybe they'll do it again tomorrow.
I'm with you there. Until they get 500, like, this is all the same to me. Like, them being 8 games under 500 versus 7 versus 5.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Does not matter to me. Ultimately, if this team is going to make any sort of run, not even in the playoffs, just to make the playoffs, they're going to have to be above 500 to make the playoffs.
Yes.
So, the games back from the wild card, games back from the Mariners, does not matter to me, because ultimately is on themselves to the dig themselves out of this hole.
Yes, the 4.5 back they are out of the final wild card spot, the 7.5 back of the Mariners. I know people are now latching on to, hey, they're only 4.5 back of the final playoff spot. Well, if they continue to play the way they played through the first 68 games, they're not making the playoffs. So I don't really care what their positioning. Get to 500. That means you may have a shot to be in a race.
Then I'll be a believer.
Even believer might be strong. But I will start to consider some of the season goals as opposed to my day-to-day goals.
Just win, baby.
I'm just like a coach now.
I know.
Win every practice, win the day, and then if you stack up daily wins, then we'll see where we are.
I think the Astros are actually more positive, like, big picture answers than you do. You are now just, hey, listen, take it one game at a time.
I'm very coach speak right now.
We got a tough one tomorrow, you know. They got, I don't know who they have on the hill, but they got a tough one on the hill.
Every day is a tough matchup. Yeah. They're all pros.
They're pros. Yeah. They're pros, too.
They get paid, too.
To speak to the Ryan Pressly issue, probably issue.
Possibly issue, yes.
What if the Astros just employ the strategy of every two games, Josh Hader pitches, and then that third one, he's unavailable, so our closer has to be Ryan Pressly. And he just does not pitch.
He doesn't pitch at all unless he's closing.
He does not pitch unless it's the ninth inning when Hader is
unavailable.
I know this is not ideal. I know this
is not
how a baseball team
should operate.
Run.
Yeah.
However, maybe the way it's got to be.
Maybe it's best for Ryan Pressly.
It's got to be this way. I don't know.
You go with Scott and Abreu and Hader on days where Hader's available, and if you get to a situation where you can close out a game with through 7, 8, 9, Pressly just knows already going in, if it doesn't line up, I'm not gonna pitch. But on the days that Hader's unavailable and we got a shot, I know
it's just
I'm the guy.
Old days.
Yeah,
play the Johnny Cash. Let's go.
I don't mind it. I know it's not gonna happen because
it's not gonna happen. It's a very Madden way to think about it.
Definitely.
It's the strategy. If for some reason one of your players cannot play outside the ninth inning, you'd just be like, okay, then he's just the backup closer.
Yeah, he is for me the backup closer.
Well, no, but literally that is his entire role.
That's all he does.
He doesn't do anything else other than backup.
I know he
close.
Actually is the backup closer, but I'm treating him like the backup quarterback.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
He only plays when the other guy isn't available.
That's it.
Yes.
You do not. He is not an eighth inning pitcher.
This
is not a seventh inning pitcher. Yeah, he's not a sixth. He is a ninth inning pitcher.
Yeah, we're not. This isn't college football where the backup will get in because of a blowout one way or the other.
No.
We're going to treat this like the NFL, where generally the backups never play unless there's an injury. which would lead to haters unavailability, but hopefully no injury, just simply pitch 2 days in a row. Backup closer, that's your only position. We'll see how you do. And then if you thrive there, we can have a different conversation about maybe helping the team in other ways. But
no.
I like it, Sean.
I'm trying to
wring more out of him than just backup closer. But I'm with
backup
you.
Closer.
But I'm with you right now. Just make him the backup closer. See how he does. You pitch hopefully every 3 days, but that's unlikely, or every 2 days. That's unlikely because, you know, you're not always going to be in a position.
There might be a blowout.
Yeah.
They have a day off on Thursday.
Yeah, so maybe he doesn't pitch for 4 days. Although that's not great because when he has 3 days off, he's awful.
He just has very competitive bullpen sessions.
Go out there and challenge some guys.
Yeah, just really leave it all on the bullpen.
Do you think we can treat him like he plays like he plays in the NBA? We send him down to the Space Cowboys to get work because we know he's not going to pitch.
Close the game down there.
Yeah.
And come back.
Yeah,
it's only like a 30-minute drive.
Yeah, particularly when the Astros are at home, do we treat him like the Rockets would treat Cam Whitmore? All right, we're not going to give him any minutes. Send him down there.
And then
when we need him, we'll bring him back.
Yeah, Jayshon Tate rolled his ankle, so Cam Whitmore,
come on back. Yeah. This is the way we have to manage Ryan Pressly, because he was great.
Yeah.
There's no explanation for what has been this year other than he doesn't like where he's been put. And he's dealing with it mentally. Because the Astros, you know, they'll tell you about some discomfort. Then that'll transition into some epic injury that sits a guy for 18 months. They have not said that about Ryan Pressly. Just say they believe in him. He's done it before, and he'll do it again. And so if they can't give us an explanation, we have to come up with one of our own. And I think backup closer is where we've landed. I like it. KJ asked... about Jose Altuve, and is he swinging at more bad balls and missing them? Probably a little bit. Age becomes an issue. He's not as great of a bad ball hitter as he once was, just because age is undefeated. I don't know if you've heard, but he found a way to get it done yesterday, driving a run on a pitch that no one in their right minds should swing at, but we let it go because he's our guy. We literally love Jose Altuve. That's segment one. We're going to talk about something Buster only wrote. It's not something we haven't spoken about before. It's not something that Keith Law hasn't mentioned, but another national name is talking about the infrastructure and how the Astros are run. It is a story that centers about really all of baseball. It's not just about the Astros, but they're listed, and it's a discussion about what they should do this year about this team, something I don't like talking about because I'm a one-day-at-a-time guy. But Buster Olney, a little different. He operates differently. So we'll talk about that and what he thinks about Jim Crane and his influence on the day-to-day. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I sometimes think how long I could let the music play without talking before you got nervous. Like, could I just not say anything for a minute and then, hey, let's get going? Or would you just sit there and wait? Because, you know, I mean, I run the board for the and produce for the morning show, and John's generally pretty quick about getting back. Lance's a little different. He gets a little distracted, but, you know, they're pretty good about, as soon as that rejoin hits, they're back on the mic. What would it be, 35 seconds, 40 seconds if I just sat here before you were like, hey, man, we're getting close to ending it, or would you just let it go?
I think once you got to, like, 40, I'd be like, what's going on?
It gets a little awkward.
Yeah.
The music's playing. It's just an instrumental. Let's pick it up, buddy. We got stuff to do here. Not serious stuff, but stuff to do.
Now that I'm thinking, because it hasn't even crossed my mind, I don't even know, like, what I'd be like, you okay?
Like, anything going on in there?
What's up?
Yeah,
can you hear the music playing?
You got a text that struck you in a wrong way during the break. Andy Zip, who a long time ago used to be a guest when this station was 1560, he would be a guest on the weekend talking Astros baseball. I mentioned the tweet from KJ about Jose Altuve, and does it appear he's swinging at more bad balls and missing them? Andy responds with, Altuve's always had stretches where he swings and misses at everything. Historically, he's gotten over it within a couple of weeks. So if this is a short-term thing, great. I may have attributed it to age a little bit. We'll see. We know Jose Altuve can get blazing hot, and sometimes you're wondering what the hell happened to this guy. But consistently, I don't have to go through the accolades. We know what he is as a player. But the bad ball thing was on display last night. All of Twitter, at least Astros Twitter, is talking about and saying pretty much only Jose Altuve gets that ball and turns it into a productive out, which he did as part of the Astros win. I mentioned before going to break that Buster Olney wrote an article about some of the bigger topics in baseball currently, and the Astros made the list. He had them at number 8. And the big question was, are the Astros going to treat this year as another year where they could go out and go win a title, or at least contend for a title? Buster Olney's of the opinion that this is the year they may sit it out. You know, he goes through some of the basic things we always talk about, the injuries to players, particularly the pitching staff, the bad April that we've seen. And is there anyone that they would go in on acquiring? He also mentions at the top of the paragraph that Jim Crane is involved as any owner when it comes to baseball operations. He is one of the guys, when we compare him to other owners, at the top of the list of guys who wants to be a part of the decision making when it comes to all of baseball. And he certainly has an approach that's pretty clear and a philosophy that he wants followed. And he goes into not signing major leaguers for more than 6 years and killing a trade here or there. So it's not something that we don't know about, but it is interesting to see that it isn't just a local story. That the way the Astros are run is not an open secret. It's just out there. And Jim Crane has a big part to play in it. And so far, since the turn to Crane being a bigger driving force in Astros personnel moves, we've kind of seen the results. Now, the success stories are still there. My guy, Ronel Blanco, is a representative of what the Astros have been able to do, particularly in Latin America when it comes to pitching. They found guys over and over again to contribute, and Blanco may simply just be the next guy. He's doing it at the age of 30, a bit older than you might expect, but this year he's been a saving grace as far as positivity with the Astros, and we know that Arrigetti and Brown, guys who have come along differently, are contributing and been really good. So if you have some consternation about Jim Crane and his involvement, so does a lot of the rest of baseball. At least they're aware of his involvement. Maybe they don't feel the same way you do because they're not personally affected. But just so you know, the story will continue and baseball is watching, particularly if the Astros continue to underperform. Jim Crane's influence will become a bigger and bigger story. We'll see. He doesn't talk as much as he does, as he has in the past. We'll see the next time Jim Crane is made available, whether it be at a charity event or maybe that he's at an Astro event and he's willing to have a conversation. I wonder if people will start to ask him about the apparent change of philosophy and how big of an influence he has as far as the Astros are operating. It feels pretty clear, but it'd be interesting to hear the owner's response to these questions that a lot of people have, including the national media, whether they're calling the front office, in their own words, a clown show, or in a nicer term, illustrating Jim Crane's influence. So that's out there. You can find that on ESPN, Buster Olney, talking about your Houston Astros. Sean, there is something I'm not surprised by, but I thought this could be a thing. Jason Braddock, who used to work here at the station in a couple different capacities, wrote for the Sporting News about the Texans simply shutting the F up. That's in the headline. Texans STFU is in the headline. So I brought this up with John and Lance. They love CJ Stroud. Everyone loves CJ Stroud. He's a great player. At least a very good young player. We'll see if he can back it up in year two. And it's led to a world tour, literally. They're in Asia. Him and Michael Parsons took a trip to Asia. I think Japan specifically. They did a tour. They did the fake pseudo sumo wrestling thing. They're at Japanese baseball games. They are going worldwide. Those two being a comedy team. CJ being the straight man making fun of the at least in his eyes the delusional cowboy that is Michael Parsons. But we had Nick Caserio. He was on the rights holder 610 discussing how he kind of scoffs at different war rooms when they react to getting their draft guy. He made fun of those war rooms, saying, "All right, guys, relax, calm down."
Yeah,
and saying we don't do that here.
Where basically every pick gets like a standing ovation from everyone.
Everyone's
in
excited
the room.
About every pick they have, and it's for the cameras and everything. And Nick Caserio kind of scoffed at that. And of course, the guys sitting around him who were hosting the show at 610, Nick, go after him. Which speaks to what Jason Braddock was talking about, this now unbelievable positivity and love affair with whatever the Texans say. And I said, locally, that's cool. I understand. They won last year in surprising fashion. You got some personalities on the team, particularly at quarterback. People are going to love to hear from those guys. And now that Nick Caserio's apparently opening up, he's having conversations. It's cool to open up when you're winning and people are excited about your moves. Now it's time to open up and have conversations and be a jokester. So, met with enormous positivity. Outside the city, are people meeting the Texans with positivity? Is CJ Stroud talking too much? Is that going to be something that gets brought up? Jason Braddock termed it hubris. The hubris of the Texans right now, and maybe stop talking as much because you won a division. You won a playoff game, but I guess for the most part, the job's not done. I think the Texans would tell you that too. So where do you stand, Sean? As a local fan, you watch the local teams. Are we in on simply the Texans? Hey, get the takes off. We want to see you and hear you everywhere in the summer. It's cool. We love it. But will it turn? I guess I got two questions. You like the world tours from everybody involved, and do you think it'll turn immediately if they lose game one?
To answer the second one first, yes. It will immediately turn if they lose to the Colts week one. Maybe not 180 towards like these guys, chokers,
didn't
losers.
Take it seriously.
Yeah, but there will be a little bit of like a, whew, all right, you know, especially if when we get closer to doing the schedule game where we pick every single Texans game and the Colts one, if it's unanimous that, W right there. And then it's an L week one out of the gate. That I feel like that's when things will kind of get serious for the Texans because so far all they've done is exceed expectations.
Sure.
So I think that it'll come into that'll come into play if they do lose that first game. But big picture, like I'm fine with the victory lap, if you want to call it that, that the Texans are taking this offseason. I think mostly because it's a lot of CJ Stroud, and he just seems like genuine about what he's doing. It's not like a beating your chest nature of it. It's just he's a confident dude. And if you ask him questions, he will answer them. He did that his rookie year too. If you ask him a question, he'll answer it honestly. And that's very rare. And so part of me also just doesn't want to discourage that.
Yeah, you don't want to take away the confidence. You call it hubris if you think it's overboard, but confidence is what you would call it if you think it's a genuine thing that's coming from a place of, hey, I believe in my talent, I believe in my team, and I'm going to tell you what I think. Some of it, the rest of the article talks about, hey, go out there and do something the team has never done before we get into these conversations and we have Caserio taking shots at others and, you know, CJ Stroud will take – he'll take his shots at people as well.
He took a little bit of a shot at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he will.
A ricochet at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers caught some shrapnel. The bullet bounced off a wall.
Yeah, it wasn't pointed at
it bounced
Aaron
off
Rodgers.
The bullet bounced off something and hit Aaron Rodgers on the way out.
The conversation made Aaron Rodgers look very bad. Or not look very bad, but it's clear that CJ Stroud does not think that highly of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. So I don't mind the talking. I do think the general positivity in the bubble that is Houston, is understood. But yeah, I could see from the outside looking in, hey, all you guys did was do something your franchise always does. Win a wild card round and then lose in the divisional round. And really not be competitive.
Aren't you the guys that lost to the Panthers last year?
Yeah. You lost to the Falcons.
Come on.
Yeah.
I do think a lot, like, I want to say 75% of the optimism for this season is solely off the back of Gardner Minshew throwing an inaccurate ball to a third string running back on fourth down.
We talked about it maybe. Was it last week?
I think it was last week it came up again. But if you think about it, like, yeah, that's the difference. Play is the difference between, you know, solid year one, they're going to come back, and then now it's like, CJ Stroud every 2 weeks is on a podcast that gets like hundreds of thousands of downloads, and he's saying things that make news.
Yeah, the difference. CJ talks, so maybe they would have had him on anyway, because if he's going to offer that type of content, it helps any podcast to have him on.
But the thing is, now he gets to talk that talk, and there's no rebuttal.
Yeah, you can't say anything. In his first year as a rookie, he won Offensive Rookie of the Year. Well, obviously, I'm repeating the same thing first year as a rookie. But as a rookie, he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. His team makes the playoffs. They win a division. They win a playoff game. There's no telling him nothing right now.
No.
And that's part of the deal. I mean, it's what victory comes to spoils. And if the victory is winning a division and a wild card game, cool. And then he can talk as much as he wants. And certainly he has all the confidence in the world and we should probably believe in him that it's not going to end with just a AFC South title and beating the Browns in a wild card round. There's probably more to come. The Texans have set themselves up to be a team that could be considered a fringe Super Bowl contender, because they're still like fourth or fifth as far as if we want to actually rank the AFC teams, but they're in the mix, and all you want to be is in the mix right now, particularly in the second year of this full-on rebuild. Sure, they were bad for years before that, but if you ask them, it all started last season, and it started positively. Eric, I see you. You want to talk about the Astros? Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. I'm just surprised to see a little pushback from someone locally. We haven't seen a lot of pushback against the Texans and the World Tours that a lot of their personnel is doing. It feels good to win. You love to have a winner. And if the winner wants to talk, we welcome it. Eric, we'll talk to you about the Astros when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sometimes I get confused because I mention things in breaks. I'm not sure if I mentioned them on the air. I was talking to Joe about this. Our own Jeremy Branham had time yesterday, so he went and found all the videos of the Texans celebrating draft picks, particularly Nick Caserio, and go, wait a minute, you guys do this too. Like, I don't have the full context of the 6:10 audio from Nick Caserio, but all I saw was, hey, what? I don't want to call anyone out, but I'm going to call people out for doing this stuff. That's silly. We just, you know, we just give a little dap and celebrate our pick. No, they're full on celebrations. Jeremy went and found him. And of course, Jeremy had to have a back and forth with people who were questioning his videos and saying, no, what Caserio meant was different. I feel like those videos are very much the same. I think those war room videos all look alike. Everyone gets, whether you think a fist pump and a high five is appropriate or you get up and hug a guy, they're all very much the same. They all know the cameras are there, and they want to look excited about the picks. The Texans do it, too. Everyone does it.
Yeah, everyone, again, because everyone knows the camera's there, and they know, not only do they know the camera's there, they know that this part is specifically what is going to be showed, either on NFL Live or ESPN, or NFL Network or ESPN, or on their very own social media clips. Like, they're on camera the entire time, and I don't think they're entirely playing to the cameras all 7 hours.
Yeah, but when they know it's getting close to showtime,
especially when they're about to make a pick,
which is, I consider showtime, they know what they're doing.
Even when they have that first, like, hey, it's CJ, this is Nick Caserio, the Houston Texans. We're happy to have you. How do you feel about coming down to Houston? Got your bags packed? Your mom's going to love it, or whatever. Like, that conversation is now 100% going to be on social media within 24 hours.
Yeah, you're asking questions for the socials. I wouldn't be surprised if the social team goes, hey, Nick, ask him how he's going to feel coming to Houston.
Yeah.
It's all part of the show.
Hey, Will Anderson, you like barbecue?
Yeah. Got a cowboy hat? Or I don't know, man. Got some boots for me? Yeah, it's all the same. Eric, he wants to talk with the Astros like he always does. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Great show. Oh, great question. I guess everybody's against Trevor Bauer joining the Astros pitching staff. I don't see an issue with giving him a chance. Is there any way Lunho or James Click comes back to the front office? And what do you think the Texas Longhorns volleyball women can do to repeat as national champions?
Well, Eric, why do you think I'll ask you. I never asked you a question while you're on there. Why do you think Trevor Bauer should have a chance to be an Astro?
Give him a chance, you know. All the stuff that he did, you know, that lady lied about him. I know he talked trash about the Astros, but, you know, maybe he can make amends with the players and, you know, be a good starting pitcher for the Astros. Or maybe a setup man, a relief pitcher.
So do you have any concerns about the incidents before this woman? I know everyone knows about the woman who went after him and, you know, text messages came out. We all saw that stuff. Do you have any concerns about what he's accused of before her? Because it's a string of these that have happened to him. Would that make you think differently, or do you think, okay, never been convicted, they should give him a shot?
Do you have any concerns with Joe Mixon being a running back for the Texans?
I brought it up on the show. And clearly, the business of sports says, hey, the Bengals already paid the price of drafting him and saying, hey, they took all the heat for drafting him after the incident. Hell, Oklahoma took the heat for keeping him on the roster. I'm sure the Texans feel a bit Teflon in that because there have already been a couple of different organizations who have decided it's okay. They wouldn't have the cover of that because no one has brought Trevor Bauer back except for teams outside of the U.S. I think that is the difference.
But the Mexican team brought him back.
That's what I'm saying, outside the U.S., I don't think anyone's going to, for whatever reason, going to use...
Well, he's not Robert Osuna, is he?
I mean, some people might say he's worse. If you believe what he's accused of even before this recent incident, because like I said, there are a couple of things. I'm not even really... I'm just playing devil's advocate because I know people like to point to what happened and he wasn't charged and it was shown that this woman certainly wasn't the perfect witness.
Does accused mean being guilty?
I think when you put together everything that he's been accused of, there appears to be a preponderance of evidence that suggests he may not treat women as well as he should. I don't have he's never been convicted. So if we're doing the whole not guilty he's innocent until proven guilty, I can't fight you on that because he's never been proven guilty. I just think the Astros and a lot of people who support the Astros would suggest he ain't worth it, and maybe that's what it comes down
to.
Is he worth it?
Numerous athletes that haven't treated women really great in the past and current.
Understood. And some of those guys get chances and some of those guys don't. It's generally always been about are you worth it? And if Trevor Bauer isn't deemed worth it by the Astros, he may not get a shot. I think we try to put morality on things, but at the heart of things sometimes it's just all about is he worth the squeeze? And so far, Major League Baseball teams have suggested he isn't worth the squeeze.
Well, what do you think about the Air Jordan 13 Dune Reds coming out in 2 weeks? Do you like them? I'm in the peripheral.
All right, thanks. I wanted to engage Eric in an actual conversation. I don't think much about – I'm not a shoe guy. But he also – I think you should take the Texas women volleyball question. You're into the Olympic sports when it comes to Texas sports. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, most of my base of knowledge is from like 2016 to 18. But yes, I got it. As long as Jared Elliott's run that program, I have faith in that they're going to be one of the best volleyball teams in the country, one of the best volleyball programs in the country. Really, they've been cycling very high level athletes in and out of that program for, I mean, since before I went to school there. So yes, losing a Madison Skinner type is going to be tough, but again, with how Jared Elliott has it set up, you just know that there's going to be a redshirt sophomore that steps in and is going to be the new Madison Skinner.
I believe everything you said, mostly because
I dropped some names.
I can't fight back against anything. I have no knowledge, so I'm going to believe it. You could have said anything. It was all, I'm sure it was very insightful, but it was all word salad to me just because I don't know anything about the sport. So I'm going to take your word for it that we don't have to worry about Texas women's volleyball.
We don't.
They're going to be just fine.
TLDR, don't worry about it.
If you were wondering, Eric, they're going to be fine.
They're going to be a top five team.
Yeah. They're one of the dominant programs in the sport. Don't
them
you
and
worry.
Nebraska.
Don't you worry about it, Eric.
Nebraska, Kansas, Texas.
We just assume.
Always good.
I'm sure LSU is always going to be great in women's gymnastics. I'm just going to assume. Things like that. Things of that nature. Oklahoma, great in softball.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say the LSU gymnastics one feels like it's based off of one person.
No, but yes, she, much like Caitlin Clark, brought attention to that sport for people who haven't focused. But LSU is a really good
gymnastics program.
Yes. Much like Oklahoma. Maybe not like Oklahoma in softball. I don't know anyone who's really like Oklahoma in softball.
Yeah, UConn women's basketball.
Back in the day. Certainly. They would be a good comp for that. Eric, don't come at this show with when you think you're not going to get real analysis. I've always got Sean for the Olympic sports, the non-revenue generating sports. I always got Sean for that. Don't you worry.
Also, your Trevor Bauer conversation gave me plenty of time
to look up stuff.
If Jared Elliott was still the coach of the team, because now we are getting like 5 years removed from my knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, it's perfectly like reasonable that he retired.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. The turnover rate's pretty high.
Yeah, the swimming coach already retired. I had to learn a new name for the swimming and diving coach.
But now you have that information. Did you see some? I want to know if you watch Red Zone like everyone else, right?
Yes.
Did you see the story involving our great American hero,
our fearless leader?
Yes. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We'll get to the American hero, that is Scott Hansen, in a little bit here. But first, we talked about it yesterday. Aaron Rodgers not showing up to Jets mandatory minicamp. Hassan Reddick as well. But he was traded for, and apparently he wants a new deal, so he's not there. Robert Saleh talked about him, saying he talked to Hassan, and he's in a good space, and he's working hard, blah, 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 all the stuff coaches say when they're trying to not offend a player. Hassan Reddick, apparently fine. Certainly not the story here. Aaron Rodgers is. He has played 3 snaps. Did he get the 3? I think it was 3 snaps for the Jets in that Monday night game that resulted in one of the best sad fan cams we're ever going to see, considering all the hype surrounding him and the result of that hype, particularly the end of the hype. And you got to feel like the vibes have to be terrible at Jets camp. You know, Will Anderson, another guy from the Texans who does do a lot of talking, likes to talk about how the vibes are high with the Texans. Can the vibes be great for Saleh and the Jets if they got to watch Tyrod Taylor run around and run the offense? Oh, no, not Tyrod's cool, but the vibes can't be high if the one of the epitomes of backup quarterbackship is out there running your offense while Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up for reasons unbeknownst to most of us. I'm sure Robert Saleh may know. He talked about it yesterday, saying it's very important for Aaron, this event that he's going to be at. That's why he's not here. He did say the absence are unexcused, which means he's subject to fines. So about 18 hours of that, the national media talking about it, the New York media talking about it, led to Robert Saleh having to address it again today. Here's what he said about Aaron Rodgers being gone and the controversy surrounding it.
Robert, you said that you were aware that Aaron was not going to be here before yesterday. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And Tyrod said he had only found out that morning. Is there any reason that wasn't communicated to him before?
No, it's a one-on-one conversation. It's not something that the team needed to know about.
I think you're getting some blowback from media people about the use of the word unexcused. And
because you were okay with him not being here, but you used the word unexcused. So I'm wondering maybe if you could clarify why you used that word. And also, did you tell Rod, did Aaron know he was going to be termed unexcused and how he reacted to that?
No, you're fine. Talked about it yesterday, but Aaron and I are on the exact same page. There's no issue between Aaron or his teammates, for that matter. So, like I said, we addressed it yesterday. It's not. It's more of an issue for everyone outside the building than it is inside, and that's about it.
That's fine. You try to limit the impact of the situation. Hey, we're all good here. If I'm a coach, I just don't want Tyrod Taylor running my first team offense. I'd be like, you know what? I like Tyrod, but I can't deal with this. I've dealt with Zach Wilson. I've dealt with that Chris Streveler dude for a game. And who was the other guy who Jets fans like?
Mike White?
Not last year.
Last year.
There was another guy who they got really excited about. Trevor Siemian was one, but there was one guy like Jets fans like, yeah! And then he petered out. He played in the Black Friday game, and he was terrible.
I have news for you, Dell. I did not remember. Watch a second of the Black Friday game.
Well, then you missed one of the great kick interception returns of all time.
You know what? I did.
I'll accept that.
I'm okay with that. I was watching Iowa Nebraska instead.
Oh, very entertaining football.
Hey, it came down to a kick at the last second. I think this is just a very funny story because it's just the Jets being the Jets. Like, Robert Saleh, just don't say the word unexcused.
Yeah,
and everything's fine.
Just say Aaron's not going to be here. We've talked about
it. Fine.
It's okay. Yeah.
If he said what he said today, yesterday, this wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, and that's why the reporter's like, you used the word that set this thing off. Why would you say it if you're okay with it? I think he said inexcused. Maybe he found it inexcusable, but maybe he thought, I'm going to take a little jab at Aaron. I'm going to let everyone know that I'd rather have him here, and he should know I'd rather have him here. And then he misunderstood how things would play out. And now,
when you say unexcused absence, it makes it seem like he's on the run.
Yeah.
It makes it seem like
the feds are after him,
or like the
state troopers.
That he's a high school senior skipping class.
Yeah,
like that's what he seems like.
Yeah, if you have the conversation, just say
we had a conversation. He's not here.
And I understand why he's not here, and we know Aaron's going to be ready to go when it matters. That's all you got to say, and it's fine. But then you say that, now he also mentioned that he's subject to the CBA and the fines. So you are setting yourself up to deal with it. And then he's like, well, it's a bigger deal for everyone else than it is for us. Well, you made it a bigger deal. Sometimes what you say matters, and your inability to kind of understand that you drop unexcused on your starting quarterback is going to cause a problem is on you. And if you know, if I'm a Jets fan, beyond the Tyrod Taylor thing, if my head coach can't even handle this, hey, and then he's going to be shocked by the response of people.
I was just going to say that. At least when the Texans were an embarrassing clown show organization that couldn't get anything together, at least the rest of the NFL and just even like to a certain degree local media, they just ignored them. like David Culley could kind of say whatever he wanted to say, and people weren't parsing the words. People did not really care.
At some point, they stopped. Like,
yes.
Initially, because he would say things that didn't make any real sense or weren't real English at points, people took shots and they became jokes.
Yeah.
But they weren't going through things because, as you said, it didn't really matter.
Like, the Jets are just as incompetent as those Texans teams.
Definitely.
They still just drive so much conversation because they're the Jets. And, like, they just can't get out of their way. They can't have a normal, like, week of OTAs where a guy doesn't show up and it's not an issue. Like, Laremy Tunsil never practices for the Texans. Like, and it's a completely normal thing where DJ Bienema will be like, by the way, Laremy Tunsil didn't practice. I assume it's a vet day or something.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah,
that's
it's a
all
vet
it
day.
Is.
He doesn't practice.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Call it a vet week for Aaron Rodgers and keep it moving. Don't talk about he could get fined and it's
unexcusable. I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
I don't know what's so important
he
chose wherever he's at, he chose that over the Jets. Know that. Why is everyone making a big deal about what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a bigger deal for everyone else than it is for us.
And Aaron Rodgers does the same freaking thing.
He does.
Where he's like, what? Why is there so much talk about everything I say on the Pat McAfee show? And then he just says the ludicrous, they just lobs grenades all day on the Pat McAfee show.
I don't know if he's naive or he's trolling, but at some point, even in my thoughts where I think most of the things that are said are unimportant, I'm not the norm. People are going to care what high-profile people have to say. So is he naive? Is the word dumb? Is he just a big meathead that he doesn't understand when he says things people care? Is that what it is? Or do you think he's trolling?
It's also a situation where he wants to say, no one should care what I say. I'm just a little old quarterback. But then he goes on a podcast and shares his ideas about everything.
And certainly wants people to pay attention to what he has to say.
Yes, and he wants to be viewed as a smart person.
Yes.
But he's like, I'm just
But if you disagree with me, you shouldn't care what I have to say anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to play that game? Fine. I can understand that game. Understood. No accountability is what he's looking for. I believe that's what it is.
And looks like he's getting it from his employer, too.
Yeah.
His employer does not hold him accountable whatsoever.
He tried to and then realized, wait a minute, what's going on here? Oh, wait a minute. Nope. No, what I said before, I didn't mean, not a big deal for us. He's going to be fine. So that particular conversation went a little bit long. I actually want to talk about the American hero that is Scott Hansen. We'll talk about him when we come back because he was involved in something weird. Apparently, he wasn't in any of the cars involved in this accident, but he was filming it, and he had thoughts about a TikToker who tried to maybe grab some clout from what could have been a tragic event. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, sweetie. Your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.